Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hey Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCfootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans! Welcome to another edition of the Peristyle Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, joined alongside Chris Trevino. We're going to talk all things USC football, of course. If you have any questions or comments for the show, you can email us, podcast at uscfootball.com. If you want to call or text us, we got a couple of voicemails today. You can leave us a voicemail, try to keep it brief, or send us a text at 424-254-9141. You can also follow us and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or any of the podcasting apps. Leave us a five-star review. We do appreciate that very much. Wherever you get your podcast, you can download, you can subscribe, and tell your friends about the Peristyle Podcast. It's a great time. It's the off-season. It's like, hey, my friend loves USC football. Let him know about the Peristyle Podcast. We've been doing this since 2008, if you can believe that. Sitting in this chair, or a chair like it, and talking about the USC Trojans. And it's been fun the last several months with Chris Trevino, and we've been doing these live, somewhat live, or recorded to YouTube. So we're simulcasting on YouTube. You can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/InsideTroy, if you want to see us over there. So we have some little graphics and things that we can add to the show, which has been kind of fun. And it's been fun to talk with you, Chris. I know you were in Vegas this weekend. So we're going to talk about all that kind of stuff. But welcome in, and how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Still a little tired.
Yeah.
From the heat out in there in Vegas, you know, it's like 106 every day, but had a good time. I feel like we haven't done a podcast in a while. Feels like we've missed a couple weeks.
I think we did. I ended up doing like some solo stuff
last week. You had to take a break from the group. You got to do your own thing. You had your solo album to promote, so yeah. You just wanted to take a little bit of break, but we're back.
We're back, yeah, because last week, so I got to talk with, hopefully you guys get to see the interview I did with Darnell Bing, the former USC safety, and there was a, you know, kind of tie-in because we weren't sure if Jordan Addison was going to wear number 3 because it's retired with Carson Palmer, so I got to ask Darnell Bing about that a little bit, and then talking to Mike Bone, that was fun too. We're going to get into some of that stuff, so I had an interview with him and did a podcast, so it was kind of crazy. We both had some weird travel schedules last week. You went to Vegas. We're going to talk about that. USC had an elite camp over the weekend. There was official visitors. So we're going to talk about all that kind of stuff. But we have, Chris, some breaking news. I'm going to get to our sponsor in a second, but we got to talk about this first. I'm going to put the picture up here. USC got a commitment. The first offensive line commit for the Trojans, for Lincoln Riley, for the class of 2023, Tobias Raymond, 3-star offensive tackle. Tell us a little about Tobias. USC's, you know, people are talking about where's the beef? USC's got an offensive tackle committed now.
Yeah, not a ton of beef right now because he's 6'7", 250 pounds. 250 pounds, yeah, there's some, but you know, I know these USC fans love a 300-pound, 320-pound offensive lineman, but that's not how they make them on the West Coast. Me and Gerard have talked about this multiple times on the composite 2-star recruits. West Coast offensive linemen, they need development. You know, they need to put on some weight when they get into college, get in the strength program. They don't make them like they do out in the SEC that come ready as freshmen at like 300, 320 pounds. So classic West Coast offensive lineman, 6'7", like I said, 250, great frame, plays with a nasty streak. If you watch his film, play left tackle out there in Ventura High School, go watch the film. He's putting guys in the dirt. And, you know, that's something you want to see. You want to see a guy finishing blocks, putting defenders in the dirt. He's pancaking a bunch of dudes. So, you know, I don't know about the competition level out there, but he's got a great frame, and it's all about development with offensive linemen. So bring him in, get him under Josh Henson. Benny Wiley's probably drooling over that frame, put about 40 pounds, 50 pounds on him and see what they could turn him into. He's obviously a project. You're going to have to work with him a couple seasons to get him, you know, up to weight, up to strength. But really nice pickup for what should be, you know, a really big 2023 offensive line class for USC. They need bodies. They need top-end bodies. They need talented bodies. But you also need guys like this, you know, those kind of the three-star prospects you can work with and develop down the line. But really good pickup. Coming off that official visit this past weekend, one of four guys on campus. So a nice little start to the June recruiting frenzy that we have coming up.
It is a little bit of a June recruiting frenzy. We're going to talk about some of that stuff, the official visitors that were on campus. I was on campus a couple of times this weekend, actually, and for the elite camp, and then I kind of stopped by at a friend. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But there is always a lot of talk about where's the beef? And if you look at USC's offensive line, I think the criticism for 2023 or 2022, a lot of it is unwarranted because you do have a lot of veteran guys coming back, like the Andrew Voorhees of the world, the Brett Nealons. I mean, there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of starts. You bring in a couple transfers. I feel like line's going to be pretty good, but there could be a big drop-off after the 2022 season. So you need this 2023 class to be really good as far as offensive linemen go. I like that USC hasn't been great at, like, developing just players over the last several years. So if they come in as a 6'7", 250-pound, I think, do you have more confidence that, like, a Josh Henson can take a guy, you know, like Raymond and put weight on him, get him into the strength program, and a year or two down the road, he's someone that could be like, wow, this guy's 6'7", 325, and just, like, crushing people. I mean, I feel like there's a little more confidence in the staff that's around now that can do something like that.
I wouldn't say a little more confidence. I feel like there's a lot more confidence. You're putting it nicely, Ryan. But yeah, I feel like there's a complete 180 in terms of, you know, the feelings toward player development under Clay Helton to what player development is going to be under, you know, Josh Henson and all these new coaches and Lincoln Riley in the strength program. So, you know, they have a track record of developing guys, and Henson has a really good track record of specifically with taking, like, under-recruited guys, three-star guys, and developing them into high-end draft picks. I mean, he had a first-round draft pick last year. There's a Texas A&M offensive lineman this year that's always being projected for a first-round status, these early mocks. Obviously, that could change, but, you know, that's a good sign that, you know, Henson was doing something right when he was working with these guys out there in Aggieland. So I think if, you know, Lincoln Riley and Josh Henson look at the Tobias Raymond kid and they like him, I think a lot of fans have to be on board with that. You know, if this was a Clay Helton commit, there'd be a lot of moaning. It's all about context and situations. But, you know, this three-star that Lincoln Riley wants is the greatest three-star you ever see. So I think a lot of fans are excited about him. And, you know, finally got an offensive lineman. Got to start building this class. You need some blue-chip offensive linemen, and they're still involved with several of those. So, obviously, this isn't going to be the headliner of your offensive line class, but these are the kind of the foundational blocks you need for an O-line class. You need guys like this to bring in and spend time with them and develop. And you can also, you know, get by with taking guys like this with the transfer portal now. You can bring in a guy who can start over them and give them more time with them. So it's a good start.
So I know you guys have a composite two-star recruiting podcast coming up again this week. Those have been very popular. So I hope you guys can check them out with Chris Trevino and Gerard Martinez.
Hurricane Martinez.
Hurricane, yes.
Yeah, we're going to do a full breakdown on Tobias and Vegas and Elite Camp. So we're going to touch on that stuff here, but we'll do a full, more in-depth breakdown tomorrow on the podcast. So if you want to check that out.
Yeah, for sure. Go check that out. That'll be a Wednesday. Probably go up on Thursday, or you put it up Wednesday. But we're doing a podcast a little earlier this week. We're doing it on a Tuesday. But we're going to talk some more recruiting because there's just a whole bunch of stuff going on. Before we do, I do want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's. They've been great to us over the years. And Chris, are you a taco fan? Like, I assume you like tacos, right?
I mean, I'm going to report that to HR later because I am Mexican, but I do like a taco. So, yes.
So if you go to TraderJoe's.com, which I like to do, especially before I go shopping, I'm going to Catalina later this week. So I got to stop into Trader Joe's, pick up some snacks. First thing up at the top, they got a video, three different kind of tacos, different recipes. You can go to the website and check it out. Pork belly tacos. I love me some pork belly, like when anything. Tacos different ways. If you're not a meat eater, they got the sweet potato tacos. Those look really good too. And there's a beef, and I think it's a birria. Is that how you pronounce it? I'm not sure. It's a tender, slow-cooked beef.
You got it.
Yeah. So quesa birria tacos. So looks cool. Little cheese, beef. I've got those tacos are good. I've had those at different like taco stands and stuff. But man, so like three different kind of taco recipes up on TraderJoe's.com right now. If you want to go check it out. So I love tacos. I mean, how do you not like tacos? Like tacos are just great.
I feel like if you live in SoCal, you like have to like tacos. I don't think I've ever met anyone that lives in SoCal that's like not about the taco lifestyle.
No. Maybe I'll do some fish tacos too. So
you took me to get fish tacos a couple weeks ago for lunch.
Those were good.
Right up here, yeah.
Those were good. Did you? I also gave you some bluefin tuna. I don't know if we want to make tacos out of the bluefin tuna. That's more of like a sashimi thing, but. Did you get to try that yet?
I haven't yet because okay. I don't want to blow it. I don't want to like do it haphazardly and just like mess it up. I need a prep for it.
Okay.
So it has to be perfect. So
all right.
Might do the grill one this weekend.
Nice. I made some poke with it this week. Pretty good. Yeah, I know. So I'm going fishing again, but we'll try to get some halibut and stuff this time. So that's more of a cooking one than like the bluefin, man. I just like eating that raw is great. Okay, so we got more recruiting stuff we have to talk about.
Yeah, what is this, the two-star podcast? You're on our turf, Ryan.
I'm infringing on in your territory. So USC picks up a commitment. Over the weekend, USC hosted, we believe, four official visitors. You know, we talked about, Tobias Raymond coming in, but there was also Taka Curtis. I've got a picture if you're watching on YouTube. I like all the uniform pictures. Like you got the bands on, the helmet, the Coliseum. Like this is kind of a newer development in recruiting. I kind of like this stuff.
The USC drip, if you will.
Is that what they call it? Yeah.
The drip.
You want to give kind of like a brief overview of what you thought of USC's official visit weekend there, Chris?
Yeah, so four visitors, which is, you know, the calm before kind of the storm of this weekend's major official visitor weekend. You had Taka Curtis, who was the big one, you know, the top 100 linebacker out of Maney, Louisiana, which is what I would consider, you know, one of USC's top targets overall in this class because of the need at linebacker. You know, the need at linebacker has diminished somewhat just because you were able to get Eric Gentry and then Carson Tabarucci in the transfer portal. Those are two young guys, so you can build around those. But they still need an upgrade of talent at that linebacker position. So that's a big one for them. You know, athlete Cade Eldridge, he was out there on his official visit, the three-star athlete out of Washington. He is being recruited as a tight end for this group, and tight end should be a big part of this this class as well. And, you know, from what I heard, everyone's visit went pretty well. I mean, we got visit updates on the board right now. There's also a three-star Central Valley defensive lineman, Grant Buckey. He is a Stanford legacy. He also took his official visit. We have updates from Cade, Tackett, and Buckey all on USCfootball.com, so you can check out those stories. They're VIP stories. And then obviously Raymond went ahead and committed to USC 24 hours after he left his visit. So yeah. That's a great sign of, you know, that USC did what they needed to do. I heard, you know, rave reviews for Taka Curtis and his visit. Grant Buckey, you know, people think he's a Stanford lean just because his dad went there. So whenever there's a Stanford legacy, they usually end up at Stanford. That's sort of how it goes. But, you know, that one's going to be tough. But he's been to USC multiple times, had a really good visit. Have to see what's going on with them. And then Cade Eldridge, who has crystal balls in already for USC going to that visit. You know, he was a guy we thought could end up committing. So we'll kind of see what happens there. Maybe it takes a week. Maybe it takes, you know, end of the month, whatever. But that was a guy that was getting on campus. And that was kind of like my favorite to, if you were going to pick a commitment this weekend, I think Cade would have been him. Not saying it's not him or can't be him in a couple of days, but the crystal balls were in on him, had a really good visit. And then Raymond was actually supposed to visit at the end of the month, but they bumped it up to now. So, you know, when we get a chance to talk to him, we'll kind of ask him about that decision to move it up. But, you know, just four guys on campus, a lot more intimate than what this weekend is going to be when close to double-digit guy, or at least 20 guys, multiple five-stars. It's going to be crazy, crazy, crazy compared to this week when it was much more chill, got a lot more one-on-one time with coaches and just a little bit slower of a process. But from what I heard, you know, USC handled their business with a lot of guys, especially Tackett Curtis, and sort of, you know, making them feel like they should be Trojans.
Yeah. And I was, so like I mentioned, I was down on campus a couple of times. So one of my best friends from college, he's visiting from Austin, Texas, brought his two sons that are 11 and 13. His oldest son's named Tommy, for Tommy Trojan. He's a big USC guy. And so he came and visited on Friday with the boys, and I brought him to campus. And thanks, you know, shout out to Katie Ryan, who was around on Friday afternoon and said, hey, I'll give you guys a tour. She took him through the John McKay Center, which is closed to the public, and I showed him the Heismans and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of stuff through, you know, the facilities of John McKay. They're all big golfers, like show them the golf simulators and all that kind of stuff. And we happened to bump into Mike Bone and Lincoln Riley in the lobby there. So, and Lincoln Riley's like, you know, nice as could be, asked the boys, hey, can I get, you want a picture? So they were all smiles. They're big USC fans. So getting a picture with Lincoln Riley was kind of a...
He's already thinking ahead to the 2040 class or whatever.
Yeah. Well, he's 13. So it was like, I guess there would be like 2035 or something.
Yeah, I didn't
like
know how old they are.
Whatever. Yeah. maybe not even that late. Yeah. So, but that was cool. But so campus in general was sort of dead. They went to the bookstore and like checked out some stuff. Not a whole lot going on right now, but there was, you could see the kind of buzz around Heritage Hall and John McKay Center. They had like the, you know, guys in carts and everything sort of getting ready, because it was Friday afternoon. So the visitors were coming a little bit later on that weekend. I think you had reported that they were going to do a Friday night dinner at Lincoln Riley's house in PV. So some cool stuff there. Then I was back on Saturday because USC held an elite camp in the afternoon. And, you know, it was one of those things where there wasn't like a ton of guys. There was, you know, maybe I think there was like 8 or 9 quarterbacks. I watched them, you know, quite a bit. You know, the highlight of the, you know, Dylan Williams, USC's linebacker commit from Poly, Long Beach Poly. He was there, so we got to kind of watch him a little bit. Gerard had an interview with him following the camp, and, you know, he just really wanted to go through linebacker drills with Brian Odom and stuff. But, you know, just another opportunity. And it was, you know, you could kind of mix sort of like the official visit stuff with this camp going on. Now, this weekend's going to be crazier because, like you mentioned, there's going to be a whole bunch of guys visiting. So I thought it was kind of a cool mix. It's going to be busy. I mean, the coaches are doing stuff like these camps. There's going to be later on this month, there'll be a bunch of camps like back in a row. And then early July, they can kind of take some time off. I actually had run into USC defensive coordinator Alex Grinch at the bookstore, actually, when I went to go meet my friend Kurtz. I don't know what he was doing there, but, you know, they were, all the coaches were out there. We got to see him at the camp, you know, Sean Nua, everybody. We just saw them kind of going through drills and doing stuff. So coaches are still engaged. Campus looked very football-y, Chris. Like, they're engaged. And then I think the beginning of July, they'll be able to take some time off, take a little break, and then come back in and get ready for fall camp.
Yeah, I mean, summer workouts have started. You know, we saw those stills that have been dropping. I know a lot of the PE love to study those, and I'm sure we'll see some videos soon.
Maybe.
So, you know, football's still going on.
It is.
And it's going to be a crazy recruiting month.
I didn't pull it up, so I'm sorry for our YouTube viewers. I won't be able to show you, but I did. Got to see Solo. Got to Solomon Tuilapupu was there, looking pretty yoked, as you would say. So I got a photo of him and put it up on the PE.
Good callback.
People love it.
People love Solo.
Oh my gosh, they love him.
If you were not holding stock of Solo before, you know, spring, good luck. You're priced out. You're not gonna be able to get any. You know,
I know the stock market's down like 20%, but the Solo stock
is gold.
He was with Tuli Pelotu.
Couldn't tell which one was which?
Not that I couldn't tell which one, but it wasn't like you said, wow, that one guy's way bigger than the other guy.
Right.
Like, he's
like, those are both large people.
They're large men. Yeah. And the fact that Solo can kind of hang there. But it was neat, you know, just kind of running into the different people and stuff. But you weren't there this weekend. So Gerard makes me do recruiting stuff because you're not around. We got Shotgun flying in later this month, so he's going to help out with these camps and stuff. But you were in Las Vegas for, what was it called? The
Overtime OT7 inaugural Vegas Invitational. I don't know. It was just basically the OT7 tournament.
OT7. Passing tournament
in Vegas.
Bunch of USC dudes.
Bunch of 30 minutes off the strip. So it was actually Vegas. It wasn't like Henderson or something out there. So yeah. You know, it's hot in Vegas.
It is. It does get hot. And it was actually really hot this past weekend because I know the desert, like if you were to go to Palm Springs or whatever, I'd gone the previous weekend. I don't know, like just before that. And there was like, oh, it's getting really hot this weekend. So all the desert stuff this past weekend was going to be hot right when you were there. Good timing, Chris.
Great timing. But, you know, a lot of teams from around the country, multiple Florida teams. There's a team from the DMV.
Oh. Always got to mention the DMV.
Led by former Maryland great Torrey Smith, two-time Super Bowl winner.
So people might not know what the DMV is. You want to let them know? Like, just because it's not.
But, is this a bit?
No.
DMV
being. I feel like not everyone knows what the DMV is.
I mentioned it so much time. DC, Maryland, Virginia. That's the acronym for that little tri area.
You're from Virginia, is that right?
Okay, let's
West Virginia.
Let's cut that out. And you know, multiple top prospects. USC 2023 five-star commit Malachi Nelson. He was leading a team from South Florida called South Florida Express. They ended up winning the entire tournament over Cam Newton's team. So you know, Malachi had a really good showing. Mekhi Lemon, the other five-star commit, he was part of that South Florida team. Five-star wide receiver target Brandon Innes. He was on that South Florida team, and Nelson was peppering him with lots of targets. He made a lot of great catches. But there was prospects all over the field. You know, there were prospects at Fast Houston. USC's 2025 commit, Jet White, the athlete cornerback, he was playing for Fast Houston. So you had kids, you know, from California playing with teams from Florida and teams from Texas and teams from North Carolina, just all over the place. And a lot of top prospects. You know, I got to talk to the number one overall player in next year's class, Desmond Ricks, a cornerback out of Florida, by way of Virginia, by the way. USC offered him a couple weeks ago.
Virginia, where you're from, right?
Yeah, West Virginia. Okay. West Virginia.
Perfect.
West Virginia. So just a lot of running around, trying to find people. You know, these are kids that, and you know, these aren't California kids that I was getting mostly. So these kids aren't ones that I see all the time. So it's like, got to figure out who's that. Talk to coaches. Hey, coach, did this person show up? So, and we're doing it in the heat. It was nice that they did the pool play stuff
at the pool?
In the evening. In the evening. So it went from like 6 to 10.
Okay.
So it was real late. Then I also got to go out to Bishop Gorman. I know you've been there. I got to talk to Zachariah Branch. That interview, USC fans are going to love to read. You know, he's like the recruiter in this 2023 class. And is taking his official visit this weekend. So I got to talk to him about, like, I did a trip preview. So that's going to be up later this week. Make sure you check it out. You're going to want to check that one out. A lot of great quotes from him in there and his recruiting plans for this weekend. So just bouncing around all over Vegas. Got a bunch of interviews I'm going to put up over the next, like, week or so. And, yeah, didn't get sunburn. Wore my hat.
Nice.
Really well-run event. You know, they had multiple TVs. They were streaming it live. They had MCs. They had like live, like play calling streaming up there. Multiple fields. They had these giant structures. They had like a media tent. Apparently, like Jeff Bezos is like a, what is it?
Like a sponsor?
Like an investor in this company. So it's like they have Amazon money. So that's why it was so like, they gave me a gift bag. This was like
swag.
I got swag. This is like the most high end passing tournament I ever covered. One time I got hit in the face at a passing tournament. This one I got a gift bag. So, just the extremes of the spectrum of passing tournaments.
And I heard you did okay at the tables too.
Yeah, if you want me to mention that, I did win some money. It is Vegas. Just a little more context to that. My buddy was at a work trip a couple months ago in Vegas, and he still had some chips left over. So he's like, I want you to take these chips. I want you to go to roulette table. I want you to bet it all on black.
Okay.
So he gave me, it was $275 in chips, and it was at the Mirage. So I had to go to Mirage, scuttled over there, it was like at 9 a.m. in the morning. I just went, put it on, rolled it.
Boom.
It's my first time playing over tables. Very nerve-wracking. I usually just stick to the slots. I want no human interaction, but I had to have human interaction here. So I just played it. Boom, and hit on black too. So I was like, all right, doubled it up. I was like, let's go. And I told him we won, and he was like, do it again. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, I don't want to do this. But it's his money, so it's like, all right. So $550, I went back, played it on black again. I couldn't watch, rolled it, hit on black 22 this time.
Oh, that's so my number.
Like, yeah. So it was like, so $1,100, and he was like, I think we should do it again. I was like, no, don't do it again. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it again. So he was like, all right, I'm gonna keep doing it. So he gave me $100 to like go and gamble with later. And then he gave me $200. He was like, go have dinner, whatever you want, do it. So that was nice. Wow. So then later I was at Caesars and I took that $100 and I made it into $400. I did the same thing. I took $100, went to the roulette table, bet on black, hit on black 17. And then I was like, $200. All right, I doubled it. Let's walk away.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking about it. Ryan, for the first time, the lesson I learned was twos were hot.
Yeah.
Twos were hot. So I had to go back. I was like, I got to do it again. Twos are hot, baby. So I went, played 200 on black, same table, and I couldn't watch, rolled it, hit on black eight. Eight being my lucky number. So nice. I was like, all right, $400. And I just ran out of there.
He's like, I'm done.
So in all, I won.
You crushed it.
$1,600. I took, yeah. So
you got free dinner, crushing it. That's very cool. By the way, you could take the chips anywhere. Like if you have Mirage chips,
really,
and you're at Bellagio, just give it to them, and they'll like swap them out for
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care.
Well,
but yeah, sure, it's good. It worked for you.
I'm terrified when. USC goes to the Pac-12 championship this year, and
you got the bug.
I gotta go with you, and we're gonna.
I'll show you crafts. I'll show you fun stuff.
Oh no, I'm not ready. I'm gonna lose so much money.
That's all right.
You're gonna lose so much money. You're not gonna care about it. I'm gonna lose so much money, and it's gonna be terrible.
You just have a good time, you know. But like, I'm glad you had fun. Like that was great. Plus, you know, you win. You get
most
to walk
stressed out I've ever been in my life.
Really. Which saying something because you get pretty strong.
All I want to do is roulette. So easy. I don't have to worry about slots. I don't know how to play slots. I don't know understand.
I don't get slots anymore either because it's like it used to just be like a bar, you know, three reels and one line. Now there's like a zillion lines. You could play. I'm like, I don't know.
And they're all like themed and like I don't know what this. Yeah. I don't watch Game of Thrones. Like I don't understand this. I don't want to do this. But if we go to Vegas for the Pac-12 championship,
we will.
I want to play blackjack.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. That's easy. We can do that. No problem. Yeah, I play blackjack craps mostly. I like playing poker, too, but it's not very social when you're in Vegas. So, all right, we have a lot of Vegas talk, but you guys have more on everything you saw out there. I think we can move on to recruiting. We did have some big kind of breaking news last week when we learned, and I got to talk about this on the show a little bit, but Brandon Sosna, the USC chief of staff, is leaving. He's going to take a front office job with the Detroit Lions. So we mentioned this already. I talked about it. I got to talk with Mike Bone about that. You know, he was the architect of the Lincoln Riley hire and everything. But I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on Brandon. I mean, he's going to be sticking around, you know, for another couple of weeks and then and moving on. But, you know, definitely wish him the best. I talked about this on the show. I did a video reaction, actually came in the office for that too. But I never got your thoughts on it. So any thoughts on Brandon leaving?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that Brandon Sosna obviously did a lot for USC and this program. And I would consider it a short amount of time. But you always knew that sort of the NFL was, you know, the big goal for him. And, you know, that's kind of where he started out, you know, working in that front office. And Detroit made a run at him, I believe, last year. And USC was able to hold on to him. They made another run. Offer couldn't turn down. USC tried to keep him. But, again, you know, NFL always felt like one of the end goal for him in terms of getting to that level. So, you know, happy for him and, you know, making it to that level. You know, a lot of guys don't get there. And it always felt like he wasn't ready to leave until, you know, he set out what he wanted to do at USC, which was like turn it around. And, you know, he gave them the greatest gift, the parting gift that he could give, which is, you know, landing a national coach like Lincoln Riley. You know, that was his last, what's the word I'm looking for? His last
I mean, it's basically his mic drop, right? I mean,
sure.
His last contribution to
his
the
mic
cause,
bone drop.
Whatever it was. His mic bone drop.
His mic bone drop. So, you know, he's leaving, but he's not leaving the cupboard bare. Obviously, it's not like he left in the middle of last season, you know, when, you know, after Helton was fired, he gave them Lincoln Riley, helped bring Lincoln Riley. Is Lincoln Riley here without Brandon Sosna? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, you know, I know the P has been very, you know, thankful. I know they've been, you know, giving a lot of praise for him on his flowers on the board. A lot of them are worried he's going to take Lincoln Riley back in a couple years when he takes him to the NFL or something like
the
that.
Lions, I don't know.
I thought he would stick around for at least one season of USC and Lincoln Riley ball, but, you know, offer was too good for Detroit. You know, I think he's a USC legend at this point. I think it's safe
yeah.
to say.
I mean, it depends how Lincoln Riley does, but just
sure.
They definitely needed, I mean, you needed a shot in the arm. You needed something. And this was, you know, hiring like a Matt Campbell would have been great. You know, this is like above and beyond any sort of the wildest expectations of USC fans. So fans are happy again, at least most of them. We still have a few dissenters on the P. You know, maybe getting a few more offensive line commits will help with some of those guys. But yeah. And it was funny. So I just happened to have an interview scheduled with Mike Bone the day that the news broke. And I was texting with, you know, USC Sports Information, like, can he still talk? Because I know it's a weird day. But he was great. He came on and we got to talk about it. I mean, he had some really nice things to say about Brandon. I put up a story on that. You can check out the video at uscfootball.com. But, you know, and Mike's just a very positive guy overall. And so it was great to kind of chat with him. No real, like, breaking sort of news. Like, I think the last time, Chris, we had him on, like, one-on-one, I think he broke the news that USC wasn't going to play UC Davis. So I had him on the podcast with Keeley back then. I mean, this was kind of, I guess the exclusive thing was he was, you know, the first time he ever mentioned Brandon Sosna leaving for the Detroit Lions and just, you know, wished him all the best. I was very happy for him, but sad for USC. We'll see what happens as far as, you know, finding a replacement and all that. But, you know, I tried to ask Mike Bone about the football only facilities. He talked about kind of all the facilities, more of a general thing. So it doesn't seem like if they have something planned as far as football only facilities go, they're ready to talk about it. At least he didn't with me. But, you know, overall, it was just kind of assessing. Check out the interview. He is assessing like the first 6 months of Lincoln Riley, you know, talking about that, you know, that was the big one, right? But there's still a lot of work to be done. And I feel like they sort of built that infrastructure leading up to the Lincoln Riley hire after firing Clay Helton and kind of putting, you know, pieces in place behind the scenes. So when you did hire a big name and you got Lincoln Riley, then
it looked promising.
Yeah. And there's a lot more, you know, it's like kind of the foundation around him was more solid. So, but he, you know, admitted there's still a lot more work to do. You know, Brandon's not going to be a part of that, obviously, but, you know, hopefully they can get someone in that's going to help. That's the big thing, like you mentioned, though. Like, you did the hard part, the big part is really over, but it doesn't mean the work is done. You just put someone that's really good at their job in the right place, where USC hasn't had someone like that for quite a while, and they kind of build from there. But I don't know if you got to see the interview, if anything you wanted else to mention about that one with Mike Bone, but make sure you go check it out. On the site or on our YouTube channel.
No, you did a great job as always in your interview, 101. So charismatic, Ryan. How do you do it?
You know,
teach charisma classes. Why don't you
teach charisma classes? That well, he was great, but very yeah. positive. It was good to see. You know, it just you know it's nice that he does stuff like that. You know, he knows we reach a lot of people, and it's good. You know, he's always thankful. Thank you for the job that you do. And, you know, he's always great with the media, with that kind of stuff. So we'll see. And then also Lincoln Riley did a one-on-one with Dennis Dodd, part of our CBS family. So like a little Lincoln Riley interview. He came last week and Dennis actually messaged me and I didn't get to see him when he was out here. He was only out there for a couple of days, but they brought, you know, it was a big thing. They brought like a cameraman and everything. So they brought his own like kind of production.
Looked like it was on the balcony of his office or
something. Yeah, I think so. So getting to sit down, you know, one-on-one with Lincoln Riley, I think some of the same sort of themes that we, you know, had heard from before. I know you put up a story on it. We had the video up on CBS and everything, but any kind of anything stand out to you from what he was talking about?
I mean, it was kind of so, like you said, it was sort of kind of similar to things we'd already heard from him in terms of, you know, using the transfer portal to, you know, obviously the big one that made headlines was his comments on, you know, the SEC question, like, were you dodging the SEC and whatnot? So it was kind of a standard overall interview, things we've heard before, but it was nice to get that, you know, that exclusive sit down with Lincoln for CBS. So part of the I.
Part of the I team.
The I team.
Yeah, it was nice. So yeah, if you've been checking out the site, we've had a lot of stuff, you know, exclusive stuff with Lincoln Riley, with Mike Bone. So hopefully you guys are checking out uscfootball.com for $1 a month. You can join and subscribe, and it's only going to get crazier. You know, we got so much recruiting stuff coming up just from this past weekend, but this next weekend is going to be absolutely insane. Whole bunch of camps, and then leading into July, we're going to start, you know, all the summer workouts, and we'll be getting ready for fall camp. So tons of stuff there. Why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back and answer some questions. We've got a bunch of questions to get to, so back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
All right, we're back here on the Parasol Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, there really wasn't any kind of break. You just got to see us sort of like doing our little thing for a few seconds. Welcome back on the podcast.
We live in a glass bubble in this. We have no privacy in over the course of this hour or so, whatever.
Chris
loves
always
it. Watching.
Chris loves it.
Right.
Yeah. We're doing this one like kind of earlier on the morning because we on a Tuesday. So we didn't do this one live on YouTube. So, but we'll try to do those going forward where we can kind of take your questions like while we're broadcasting, people would post comments in our YouTube channel and then we would put them up on the screen. It's actually kind of fun. I think people like to see their name up there on the screen and stuff. I like doing that kind of stuff too. But this week it's just kind of recorded, so sorry about that. But why don't we get to a voicemail question, Chris? This one came in last week. I want to play it for you.
Hi, this is for the main event, the big show of the week, the show on the Peristyle that carries the whole network, the Chris and Ryan show. Quick question. I've been seeing a lot of pictures on Instagram of the summer workouts. Then we also seen the pictures of spring workouts. I have a little concerned, a few concerns actually. The guys look too yoked right now, like extremely too yoked. I'm worried that on away games, the bus might break down. I don't think the axles on the bus will be able to support all the yokeness on there. So I'm wondering if Coach Lincoln Riley has come up with a contingency plan. Maybe just some forklifts for some of the bigger guys like Solo and Voorhees just to make sure that they can get to the stadium. All right, thank you. This is Eddie from Orange County. Bye.
Eddie's concerned, Chris.
Eddie had me going there for a second. I was like, first they're mad they're not big enough. Now they're mad they're too big enough. But I love a good bit, and that was great. You know, I think the ultimate intimidation thing you could do is just show up like in tanks. That'll handle the increased yokeness of the team. And I don't think you're going to have a problem, you know, rolling up in tanks. It's going to take a lot of tanks. I think tanks can only hold like five people or something. So you're going to need like, I don't know, 20 tanks. No, I'm bad at math. You're going to need a buttload of tanks. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, tanks don't hold that many people, I don't think. There's like a crew of like four or five in there.
So,
but they're all working.
So if how many people are like 100 tanks? No. No, I'm not even going to try.
Not 100 tanks.
50 tanks.
No, let's say we put like four or five, you could do like 20, 25 tanks. You'd probably be okay.
So I was right.
Yeah.
20 tanks. I'm good.
I think you're good with 20 okay. tanks. Plus there's going to be some
Why
guys
didn't you
that
say
aren't...
anything? You laughed. you just let me say 100 tanks. What's your problem, man?
500 tanks. Will that have enough people? Yes. Perfect.
The number one like rule of improv is make your partner look good. You're really like, you just like, let me say dumb things.
It's more fun. The audience likes that better.
Sure. 100 tanks. 100 order them up.
Well, if you do one, you know, one.
All right, stop.
One attack. All right. Thanks, Eddie. We got Frank in Sacramento wrote in, and he said, Ryan, I liked your interview with USC Athletic Director Mike Bone, but I was disappointed, however, when he dodged your question on a dedicated football facility. Later in the interview, he dodged your question on starting up a women's softball team. Do you think he's working on both of these important issues behind the scenes, like he was with the Lincoln Riley hire, and wants to drop a bombshell when he does both? Or is he pretty much a politician? Wow. Frank in Sacramento. I mentioned this a little earlier. I don't think he was dodging it. I think it was just more about they didn't really have much to say right now about that. I don't think he's trying to make – I don't think there's some like huge plan that's already in place. They're going to just drop it on you like at some point. I think it's still a work in progress. I think that would be my guess as far as football facility. I'll get your thoughts on that, Chris. But also on the softball team, I'd mentioned this on the interview. I've asked every athletic director USC's had about that because people ask me all the time, and I feel bad. But, you know, I think they're really – he's talked about focusing on the 21 teams that they have now, upgrading the facilities they have now with baseball, and, you know, they're adding a new lacrosse and soccer stadium thing that they're really excited about. So, I mean, I think they're kind of focusing on that. It's expensive to add another sport where, I mean, the trend was, at least for a while, like there was contraction in sports, you know, like Stanford cut some teams. That was like a thing, you know, early on in the pandemic where they were cutting some of the stuff. I agree. I mean, I think there's a lot of fans. Softball's becoming really popular. It's a hotbed. You know, ideally USC would have a women's softball team, but everyone I've talked to in the past, I didn't get a lot of out of Mike Bone on this one, but just it seems like financially it adds strain to an already strained, you know, athletic department. So we'll see. I don't think he was dodging it. I don't think that there's an easy path to create a women's softball team. But any thoughts on either of those, Chris?
All I'll say is in an interview, I don't think you want to when you have power like that. Like as an athletic director, I don't think you kind of want to say too much that gets you like locked in. Like it's like you don't want to promise too much. You know, you don't want to say, yeah, we're going to get a softball program. Yeah, let's do it or something like that. You don't want to like get too excited and say something like that. And just you don't want to overcommit is what I would say. So I think it's just being, you know, cautious and not saying too much as opposed to saying, you know, say less than say more. So.
And they're changing. I mean, the rules are changing. I mean, there's sports that don't have a lot of scholarships, just like men's baseball. There's, you know, proposals out there where there would be more baseball scholarships. There's issues with Title IX. There's a lot of stuff kind of going on. So I don't know if it's the time to sort of make a big change like that. You have to kind of wait, maybe see what the dust settles, maybe the new TV contract, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it might not be the best time. I don't think he's... I don't think anyone would be opposed to adding a team. I think you could have a nationally relevant softball team like right away. But I think there's just a lot of hurdles to kind of get through there. So that was my take on it. What about the football facility? Any thoughts there?
I think the big thing is like, where would it go?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, I think.
I think you need to figure out where it would go first before you can even, like, think about committing to it and sort of, you know, get all the zoning. Me and Gerard were actually talking about this at the first camp, thinking about, like, where would it go? I don't know what the name of those buildings are to the right of the field. If you're, like, looking out, looking at the baseball stadium, there's, like, those old dorms or whatever. Okay. And that other classroom building. I said, knock it all down and put it right there.
Yeah, potentially.
So just finding the space is sort of like the first thing that you have to do, especially obviously in LA where space is very, very tight. So. Yeah,
space is a premium around the campus and stuff. So, I mean, just building that USC Village, that was like city blocks of just like leveling everything. It's like crazy.
And I think one will come. I think a football facility will come.
No, I think it will. I just don't think they're there yet or they could announce plans, like you said. So, I mean, I don't have any doubt they're going to do something. It's just, you know, it's like they're planning it out. So they're not ready to like, oh, here's what we're doing, you know, talk about. We got another voicemail for you.
Hey, Ryan, it's Curtis. I saw the interview with Mike Bone about everything and Sosna. Losing him is a big blow. That guy is very, very good at what he does. We're going to have to replace him. So do you think the athletic director is going to go outside and get the best or hire from within? I think he's going to get the best. We had the money to back it up, so another school may hate us if they find out we hired their assistant director if he's real good. Curtis from Moreno Valley.
Hey, Curtis, thanks for that one. I think they're going to go outside and hire somebody. That would be my guess. Mike Bowe didn't bring a lot of people over from Cincinnati. It was kind of like the two of those guys were sort of, you know, like attached at the hip and they were going to kind of, you know, go forward. Now, I know, like, Brandon got close to some of the people that were there in the building already. And, you know, I think Brandon will, you know, give some kind of recommendation. And, you know, he might recommend somebody that's already there. I'm not really sure. But my guess would be you're going to bring in, you know, someone from the outside. Maybe not that exact role, but bringing in someone else from the outside to kind of fill one of those roles. They might split it, you know. That could have been a role that was just unique for Brandon. I'm not really sure. But I think you're going to see someone with some experience outside of USC kind of coming into the athletic department in some capacity. But any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say just looking at the two options, I would probably go hire the best. If that's inside or outside, that's what you want to do. Always hire the best. And I think that's something you've harped on multiple times when USC was going through a coaching search. So I would hire the best and go for youth. Go for youth.
Yeah, it worked out with Brandon. Yeah, you know, I don't mind the youth. Hire people that are good at their jobs. You know, what is that so hard? Just don't avoid that. If you're gonna go to like, you need like heart surgery.
Craigslist surgeon?
Do you want like a great surgeon, or do you want someone that was like a painter, like projects to be a good heart surgeon? Like, get the good heart surgeon. Just get someone that's really good at their job. So, why is that so hard? I don't know. But at least USC is doing that now. They weren't for quite a while. So that's what I would harp on. We got an email from Keith. He says, first, I know you guys have touched on this topic a bunch, but why are we struggling to land linemen on both sides of the ball? Last year's abysmal season hasn't prevented us from securing top talent at the skills position, but the same can't be said for the trenches. I'm a believer in our staff, all of whom have great track records, so I'm confused as to what's going on. We can address that one first. They did pick up a new commitment, right? I mean, like, here's some beef. Boom. Committed. Project.
I just think it's there's the one disadvantage that Lincoln has right now is that they haven't played a season at USC. So it's like you have to sell what you're going to do on the field. You don't have like last season to go off of.
Right.
And kids like to see like – football games, you know, they like to see something. They like to, I know you have Oklahoma, or what did Oklahoma, but this is USC, and until they see it up close in the Coliseum or on ESPN or wherever, I think that's sort of the thing they'll have to compete against. They don't have, you know, they can't sell, hey, we won 9 games last year. We were in the Pac-12 championship. They can't really talk about it. It's right. All about what they're going to do. And so that's a little bit harder to sell, you know, to an 18-year-old kid. But USC does have the advantage of being USC. You have the weather. You have Southern California. You have a beautiful campus. You have this program history and legacy. And, you know, it's just getting their foot in the door. They're still, you know, recruiting. They're still, you know, getting to know these recruits in this new environment, this new place. I know USC fans want already 4 top 100 offensive linemen committed, but offensive linemen, they take a little more time, especially when you're going after higher end guys like
right.
Francis Maoyoga, the number one offensive tackle in the country. He's not gonna commit in the spring, at the start of spring. No, right. That's gonna take time. You're going after Lucas Simmons, a top 100, fast-rising, big 6'7", 300-pound tackle from Florida. Again, everyone wants him. He's going to take his time with this one. So, you know, if you're going after the big fish, these high-end blue-chip prospects, it takes more time. You can't. They're not just going to commit right away on their first visit of the first spring practice. You know, these guys take time. Blue chips take time. It's a process with these higher end guys. They're going to get offensive linemen. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So I think it just needs to be a little bit slower. Obviously, skill guys and quarterbacks, super easy to recruit at USC and for this offense. Just need a little more time with the trench guys.
Yeah. And like guys like Cooper Lovelace, I mean, he has 3 years to play. So like that's sort of like, you know, kind of like close to a high school recruit. They're going to bring in some beef. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. But this is like the first, I think, of several you're going to see kind of going forward. He also wanted to know about the football facilities. We already talked about that, Keith, but thank you for the question. We got a couple more, and we'll wrap this one up. This is Aztec Wrestling on the P wrote in. He said, I love the podcast. Thank you.
Oh, sweet.
That's great. We love that. Been a USC fan since I was born. So that's a long time. My grandpa played at Glendale High School and USC with John Wayne. That's pretty cool.
Oh.
So his question is, has anyone done the star ratings of the teams in the Pac-12? I wonder, talent star-wise, where we match up with the rest of the conference now that we have our transfers on board. Thanks, Aztec Wrestling on the P. And he says, I'm attaching a picture just for fun. So let me put that picture up so you can see. So Richard Ryan, he's circled there. That's his grandfather. And then Marion Morrison, who is also known as John Wayne, on the same team. So that's kind of cool. Thanks for that photo. Kind of cool. I don't know if you can. I'll have to show it to you later.
Chris. I don't have my glasses on, so everything's a blur. I don't even know where you are.
I'm pretty much right in front of you. Okay. But that's cool. So his grandfather, Glendale High School, and then USC with John Wayne. So thanks for that. We do 24/7 Sports does do a talent composite index that will rate your entire roster where the way it's constructed. So if you bring in a recruiting class that's ranked like number 5 in the country, but then half of the guys transfer out, you know, they're not on your roster anymore. So every August, I believe it comes out, the talent composite, and that sort of like rates who has the most talent in the Pac-12. And USC was for years top 3 or 4 and always the top team in the Pac-12. I think they dropped behind Oregon recently in the last one.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
It might be close. I think with all the transfers in, USC is probably going to still have the most talent in the conference is what I'm going to guess. But that's sort of like that's what you can kind of use to measure. But they only do that in August. So you kind of look at the beginning roster heading into camp.
And if you want sort of like short term right now, like USC obviously has the number one Pac-12 class in the country in terms of all overall. They also have the highest star rating of any. If you take the average of all their commits, it's at a 90.90, which is the only team in the Pac-12 per star average that is over 90. The second is Oregon at 89.52. And then Arizona, who had a really good class, is 86.86. So obviously USC head and shoulders above everyone else in terms of you know that their average star they're bringing in or star prospect they're bringing in. So really good for this for the cycle 2022.
Nice. All right, let's see. We've got one last one. This is okay. This is from, let me see. I don't know if it's signed. It says, "This is." It was titled "Chris and his love affair of the word like." So he said, "I counted Chris saying like 21 times in the span of a minute 34 seconds of a recent episode. Time for Chris to graduate from 2-star podcast host to a 5-star." Chris, before you let you respond, here's the deal. People out there, I do a podcast called The Podcast of Champions. We do Pac-12 with David Woods. I have a master's in electrical engineering. I was more of a technical, not much of a writer person growing up. I've kind of learned that, learned the journalism skills. My co-host, David Woods, is more of a, he had more of a, you know, kind of a literary background, a lot of history, a lot of writing, very good with grammar and all of that. You know, he'll use words that I don't know on the podcast all the time. More of a liberal arts sort of education, as opposed to I had more of like a technical education. He can be the grammar police as good as anybody. And we get complaints a lot about that kind of same sort of thing. And his stance, I love his stance on this, that the English language, I mean, you're meant to speak it. You know, they're supposed to be conversational. How does it sound? When you're talking, there are going to be little bridge words used from time to time. Yeah, it can be a crutch and it can be overused. Like is one. You could say but, some, When you're trying to convey a point, and Chris and I are talking, if I'm chatting with Chris and I pause, it's going to be awkward and he might want to step in where if I'm not done, then I would be like, so Chris, and so the word so or the word but, to keep sort of my train and conversation going. And then when it ends, Chris will know, okay, there's no more words. Now it's kind of my time to go in there. It's one of those things where, sorry, you don't like that. But that, if you listen to anybody in conversation, that's the way it goes. I mean, that's what happens. If you try to take out every little word like that and clean it up, and some people do. Some people like produce their podcast to the nth degree, and you're doing that, it doesn't sound natural. It doesn't sound like the way that you talk. This is more of a conversation, like a radio interview. It's not a written word where, you know, we're writing 800 words on a certain topic. We're talking. We're talking in a fairly casual environment about college football and the topics, and things come to our mind and we discuss them, and that's the way it is. So I don't think if you're going to say, hey, try to not ever say the word like again, you're not going to sound natural. We all have different words. We have different ways of conveying our thoughts, and that's just sort of the way it is. Yeah, we could all probably do a little bit better, but for anyone that wants to harp on something like that, just I would say pump the brakes a little, like Gerard likes to say. Any thoughts, Chris?
I think my only response would be to say like.
That's even faster than a minute 34.
Yeah, so that was probably at least 22 in there. So you can count that up, whoever you are, and let me know how I did like next week. Let me know how it went.
Would you, off the top of your head, would you know, like, is there a word, a bridge word? Do I say so, but anything that you would think of?
For you?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I don't feel like you have one.
I don't think like one specific one. I think I say a lot of stuff.
You mix them up.
I could say like, you say but, you say I wouldn't have guessed like for you. Like. I mean, sometimes you just get into.
I say yeah a lot. I try to. I feel like I say yeah, especially on the composite. I say, yeah, a lot. So I try to, I've been more subconscious of not starting my sentences with, yeah, after Gerard speaks for 20 minutes.
It's hard. I mean, and the dynamic changes too, if it's more of a back and forth, if it's a, you know, for Gerard, and I've done plenty of podcasts with him, this would happen with Dan Weber and stuff too, where you sort of get the ball rolling and then they go. And then sometimes it's about, here's a topic we're talking about, and then they switch it to another topic, and they come back to that topic, and then you're kind of keep straight in your mind, like, well, now which thing am I going to respond to? Can I respond to three of the topics that he brought up during that soliloquy or whatever? It's, yeah, I mean, but like I said, it's just conversational. I just did, you know, that's, it just, it happens when you're trying to.
We need like an alarm.
When you're thinking.
Or a shock collar.
No, but you don't need to get rid of it. I mean, it can be, there are times, and we interview people, and they might say, you know what I'm saying, like 14 times. And like, that gets to be, you know, it can be a little much, right? But that's just sort of the way.
I'm going to get flamed in these comments.
Are you?
On YouTube, yeah.
I'm defending you.
I know.
I'm
just saying, I just know I'm going to get.
I'm the one having the flamed. Conversation with you. I don't remember you saying like, and there could be a time where maybe you don't know exactly what you're saying. You were looking up something while you're talking. Like this happens all the time. We're like checking this stuff, and when you're gonna be like, well, like, and you might say a few of those words because you're sort of delaying your response as you are like gathering information. We don't have like some producer handing us sheets of everything. Like we're basically doing this on the fly. Especially when you're on video, now you have to like. You can see us when we're doing these things too. So,
and just the last comment, graduate from a 2-star podcast to a 5-star podcast. No, the 2-star podcast is the bit. The bit is we're 1-star hosts. That's the bit. And if that's over your head, I don't know what to tell you.
Nice.
When we were covering the first elite camp, we were doing a live thread and someone was like, looks like a couple of, because I was talking about the check-in and someone wrote that. Looks like some composite 2-star recruits checked in, referring to me and Gerard, and someone got really upset in the comments, like, how dare you talk about those kids like they're 1-star recruits? And I was like,
it's the bit.
I mean, look around, read the room. It's a joke about me and Gerard. We don't take ourselves too seriously, obviously. Yeah, and people hate that.
Yeah.
Hate it. Hate it.
All right. Well, that was a good show. Let's we kept it tight, about an hour. We can wrap it up here. Any final thoughts, Chris?
We still got to do our bake-off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We should try to do that for July. Okay. You know, like, obviously July 4th is coming up. It's pie season.
What did we decide?
We decided we both make the same pie.
Pie? Like, we were going to...
I don't think we agreed on the pie.
Okay.
We're probably just going to make an apple pie or something.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of pies, so that'd be fine. I mean, apple pie would be good. I love apple pie. Or pumpkin or...
Banberry.
I don't even know what that is.
It's banana and strawberry.
A banberry. Okay.
Banberry.
I like creamy ones. Like if it would be like some kind of pudding or like a banana cream.
I should just do a poll. I'll just do 5 random pies and then I'll just put the poll on Twitter and like...
Yeah.
What pie? Or do it for the P, whatever.
What should we vote?
Some form of large group of USC fans will vote on what pie we
vote. Yes. Love it. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks, everyone. We're back in studio, and it's a lot of fun to talk to you all. Chris Trevino and Ryan Abraham, we just love talking to you guys. We love talking about USC Trojan football, recruiting, and all that stuff. You can see everything we do over at USCfootball.com, but on our Peristyle podcast feed, on our YouTube channel, over on our Facebook page, all that stuff. You can see everything we do there. So for Chris, I am Ryan. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.